Is my parenting style proclaiming the gospel or is it hindering the gospel? Is my parenting style drawing my children closer to Christ or pushing them further away from Christ? Am I modeling the character of God to my children in how I parent them? Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Speak Truth broadcast. I'm your host, Blake Gideon, and I've got Christian Lloyd here with me today. And Christian is also one of our pastors on staff here at EFBC and serves with oversees our children's ministry. And so welcome to Speak Truth podcast, Christian.
Well, thanks. I'm glad to be here.
Excited. I dressed up for you today.
I know. I'm a little underdressed for this.
Yeah, well, no, but you're perfect. I dressed up. I dressed up just for you. I don't wear stuff like this for Ashton. I don't wear stuff like this for Reese. I only wear stuff like this for you.
Well, you know how to make a guy feel special.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the reality is I have a funeral today, but other than that. Well, you've got questions for me today.
I do. You know, I saw Pastor Reese and his conversation with you, and it was phenomenal, and wanted to kind of leapfrog on that with parenting. Talking about some practical parenting. So, but before we dive into some practical things, you talked about the roles of a man and the roles of a wife and husband and wife last time. And I really want to talk about that again, but could you tell us what are the roles in light of parenting, of the roles, what are the roles of a father? What are the roles of a mom? And then what are the roles of a children? Because a lot of people forget that kids play a very important part in that too. So
The first passage that comes to mind is like when you talk about what is the father's role with his children in the home. Deuteronomy, you know, is the first passage that comes to mind. Deuteronomy chapter 6, known as the Shema. And it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children." Mm-hmm. So the Shema says in Deuteronomy 6 that a father is to love God with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength, and he is to teach that diligently to his children. He shall talk of them when he sits in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. In other words, always keep this in front of you. Always keep this in front of your children. What? The great commandment. Hmm. To love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And, you know, using a Jewish context here, he says, "They shall be as frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." So the primary responsibility for any father is to love God with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to model that love to his wife and to model that love to his children. So a father should stop and ask himself periodically, am I reflecting my love for God in how I'm parenting my children? Hmm. Is my parenting style proclaiming the gospel or is it hindering the gospel? Is my parenting style drawing my children closer to Christ or pushing them further away from Christ? Am I modeling the character of God to my children in how I parent them? Are questions that we as fathers ought to be asking one another.
Yeah, definitely a good reminder for me even. It's important for, I know, fathers to make sure that they're in the Word. I think that that's the first part of all this, that if they can't love the Lord your God with all their heart, mind, and strength, then teach them to their children if they're not in God's Word regularly.
Yeah, so. And I think with that comes the reality that the fathers need to be the primary lovers in the family. What I mean by that is they ought to be, they are the thermostat. The husband, the dad, he is to be the initiator. He is the one who is to bring an atmosphere of love into the home. Hmm. That is his responsibility. And it's also his responsibility not only to be the primary lover in the home, but his job is also to be the primary discipline person in the home. It should not lay on that responsibility of disciplining children should not lie squarely on the shoulders of the mother. I personally believe that according to Scripture, it is the primary responsibility of the father to be the disciplinarian in the home. Now, of course, when he disciplines, his discipline should be carried out in love and should reflect the gospel and should be seasoned with grace. But nevertheless, the father is to be the primary disciplinarian in the home. Why? Because we're modeling to our children our relationship to our heavenly father. And when we as children of God get out of line, it's our heavenly father who disciplines us, not to harm us, not to hurt us, but in order to correct us, in order to redeem us, in order to sanctify us. And we as fathers have that same God-given responsibility to be the primary lovers in our home, to love God, to love our wives, to love our children, and then to also to be the primary educators in the home. We are the spiritual leaders. Fathers are, husbands are. And so we have the primary responsibility to make sure that our homes are a place of worship. Fathers lead their children to church, and that's great. I'm glad they do. This is a place of corporate worship. But fathers are to be leading their families in family worship in their home. And that falls on the shoulders of the father to circle his family up and to set aside time in the home where you study Scripture together and pray and sing together. And there's many different ways to do that. And it doesn't have to be long. It doesn't have to be, you don't have to be a theologian. All you have to do is be able to read. So I'll be quiet for a minute. Yeah.
No, that's one thing we've really worked on with Parker and JC too, but and Allison before bed, we'll just do something simple and pull up a YouTube video of a worship song and sing together and read Scripture. And so that's incredibly important. So if you're not doing it, it's something that you definitely need to be doing. So thanks for that reminder. One question that I think can be considered a hot button topic, mm-hmm. kind of, is the balancing between faith and sports. There's lots of parents and families mm-hmm. that they have tournaments on Wednesdays or Sundays or over the weekend, and some parents will choose to forego church to go to sports. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I think a little too often, but there are also times that they choose to go to come to church and they tell their kids, it's okay, we're not going to go to the tournament on Sunday or we're going to skip the game. But how do you find the balance between that? And there are professional athletes that are Christians, but how do you find the balance? Or what's a good balance for that?
First of all, let me just say that it's not my job to parent anybody's child, somebody else's child. So I don't want anybody out there thinking that I'm trying to tell them how to parent their children. But it is my job as a spiritual leader and as a shepherd to lead the flock. And so that's what I want to do right now, is to lead the flock. And the thing about it is that Sunday morning worship is a non-negotiable with God. It's the Lord's Day. Yeah. And so we are to prioritize our lives in such a way, as Christians, where we guard the Lord's day. It's not your day. It's not my day. It's not baseball day. It's not volleyball day. It's the Lord's day. And so, and it is the parent's responsibility to parent their home and guard the Lord's day and have their families here worshiping together. You got 6 other days to play sports. You've got 6 other days to practice and go to a game. But Sunday is the Lord's day. I have 4 children, and I am not a perfect parent. But I do my best to model for my children the gospel. I have 4 children. I have 3 boys, and all of my boys have been involved in sports. Early on, baseball, but throughout their high school career, football, soccer. My daughter was involved in volleyball. And they played at a varsity level. I still have a son playing high school football right now. My children are, my oldest son is in his, you know, early 20s, and then my second son's in his early 20s, and then I've got my youngest son is 17, my daughter is 16, and we have never missed a Sunday for a ball game. Never.
Wow.
Ever. Not one. And my children have played sports. We've guarded our priorities, and we let our children know, and we let their coaches know, if you do anything on Sunday, we will not be there. And we've had to make those decisions. And so without trying to tell someone how to parent their children, I want to remind everybody who listens to this podcast that Sunday is the Lord's day, not your day. It's not your kid's day. It's not your coach's day. It's the Lord's day. And you're to be in church on the Lord's day. Not at the ball field. You're to be in church under the preaching of the Word of God, worshiping with the saints. This is the will of God.
Yeah, well, thank you. It's. I think everything kind of boils down with parenting in general is boils down to priorities and how you have your priorities. Another one that I've just kind of heard, and I don't know that I have a side necessarily in all this, but they've had some questions about the schooling between public, private schooling, homeschooling. Is there a better option more than one or the other? We know public schools are definitely having some trouble now, and so could you speak into that?
First of all, thank you for such a loaded question. I appreciate that. More trouble, exactly what I need.
Hey, that's what I'm here for.
Yeah. Well, I'll just give you my honest opinion. Biblically speaking, the parent's primary responsibility is to train their children and to teach their children to love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. They also have a responsibility to protect the spiritual development, the minds, and the hearts of their children. And even though I have the utmost respect for public school administrators, and we have many in this church who I love, and they are Christians, and they are doing their best to keep wokeism out of their schools. And so I would say to a parent, not every parent has the... This is going to be a controversial topic, so I'm just going to say it and not worry about the controversy, okay? There are some homeschool parents who have that ability. I mean, they're just wired in a certain way where teaching their children at home it's a sacrifice, but it's something that's not quite, it doesn't make them depressed. It doesn't make them anxious. Well, there are some women and men who are not wired that way.
Yeah.
And the thought of homeschooling kids because of the way their life is or whatever it may be, would actually probably do more harm than good, because the mama's frustrated or the dad's frustrated or whoever it may be. And there's arguing and fighting going on, and the children really aren't being educated, and they're hurting. And so not everyone can do homeschool. And I'm grateful for those who do. But I'm not going to push my conviction off on somebody else. I do believe it is the home, mom and dad, it is their primary responsibility to educate their children. And I don't know of a school administrator or a teacher who would argue with that. I think they would say, yeah, you're exactly right. They should. And we're here to help them. And so I think for some families, as long as they're smart about the school system and as long as they're paying attention to what their children are being taught and make sure that their children are not being influenced by woke ideologies, then that's their decision. And I don't have a problem with that. If they want to send their kids to public school, if they have the safeguards in place. Parents who homeschool their kids, they're not more spiritual, they're not holier than somebody who doesn't. But I respect their decision, and I support their decision, and I pray for them. My kids are in private school, a private Christian school, and Kelly and I have had to make sacrifices. You know, God's been good to us, and we've had some help, but we're at a place now where Kelly and I are having to make financial sacrifices in order to pay for our kids to be at Christian Heritage, which is a great school. That's the choice that we have made. That's the way God has led us. And so I think that each family needs to pray and seek the Lord. And as long as they're seeking to guard the hearts and minds of their children with the gospel, and they're teaching their children the Word of God and teaching them how to discern between truth and error, then I believe that responsibility lies squarely on them to make that decision.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I agree, and thanks for speaking into that. I know, like you said, a little controversial topic, of course.
It is.
Definitely something we don't want to shy away from. But just a couple more things. One thing that it's been a while, and you touched base with Family Devotional a minute ago, but if you don't mind going back to that, there are a few books and things that you'd recommended before. Yeah. Would you just remind everybody of those books?
Yeah. So one book I think every family must have is the Family Worship Bible, or the Family Guide Worship Bible. And you can find that at Reformed or Reformation Heritage Books. So Reformation Heritage Books, the Guide to Family Worship Bible, or the Family Guide Worship Bible. I think that's the name of it. So we use that. Another great book is a book. It's a compilation of Puritan prayers. And it's called The Valley of Vision, and you can probably get that at RH Books as well, or Banner of Truth. And then, of course, you know, your Bible, the Word of God. Those are three things that I primarily have used.
Okay, well, thank you. Yeah, I know you've, you know, showed it to us before, but it's been a while, so it's a good little reminder.
Yeah, people can actually go to our church website, and we have a place there. If you look through the tabs on family worship, and we have a family worship guide. We have the books that that I just spoke to you about. You can see those there. So if you peruse through our church website, you can find that family worship guide and more material at our church website as well.
Good. You know, it's just kind of a couple more things, just some practical things.
Yeah.
So what are some practical ways, or if there's a specific prayer you'd even recommend, or some scripture that we could pray over our children? I know you've, of course, read Deuteronomy. I know Proverbs, you know, train up your child in the way they should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. But is there any other passages that you'd recommend for that we'd pray over our kids?
Yeah. So one passage that I've prayed over my children is Psalms 1. And let me read that. I've prayed this over my kids. I've had my kids memorize it. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted beside the streams of water that yields its fruit in season, and its leaves does not wither, and all that he does he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like the chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. And so I would pray that, like, Lord, help my children not to walk in the counsel of the wicked. Lord, I pray for my children not to stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But God, I pray that my children would delight in the law of the Lord. I pray that they would meditate upon it day and night, so that my kids will be like trees planted beside the streams of water, and that they'll bear fruit in season, and that their leaves do not wither, and in whatever they do, they prosper. Lord, I don't want them to be like the wicked who cannot stand in judgment. So you see, a great passage of Scripture that I love to pray over as I think about my children in prayer is Colossians. Colossians 1, this is another great prayer that I would encourage you to pray for your kids. And he says here, so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, bearing fruit in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And so I would pray, you know, Lord, I pray that my children would be filled with the knowledge of your will. I pray that they would have spiritual wisdom and understanding. Father, I pray that my children would walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing you and bearing fruit. So it's more than just reading these scriptures, but it's personalizing these scriptures and using these scriptures to pray over your children.
That's good. And just finally, just one final thought is when there's, we have parents, and especially, I know we've probably been at the same place where we're just at our wits end.
Oh, yeah.
We're tired. We've heard mom, 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 dad, 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 you know, until
it wears it out. Usually the only time they say dad is when they say, dad, yes, where's mom?
yep.
After they said mom 80 times, then they'll say, dad, yes, where's mom?
Where's mom? Yep.
I don't know.
But when we're at that point, just what is some encouragement that you'd share with parents, and encouragement from the scripture, encouragement that you've had, just what would you share with
us? It's the old go-to. I'm going to take you to the old go-to passage, Proverbs 3. And there's a reason it's a go-to passage. but remember these words. I would say trust in the, remember Proverbs 3. When you find yourself at your wit's end in parenting, Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of your produce. But the thing I want you to see there is where he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And don't lean on your own understanding. It's really that simple. When you find yourself at your wit's end, just keep trusting in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Go to the Word. The psalmist says, I lift up my eyes into the hills, and where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Colossians 3, Paul said, set not your mind on things of the earth, but set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Philippians 4, Paul says, whatever is noble and whatever is honorable and whatever is pure and whatever is lovely, whatever is excellent, dwell upon those things. And don't be anxious, but instead be prayer, and the peace of God will guard your heart. You know, so knowing scripture, reading scripture, memorizing scripture, quoting scripture, these are all the things that are going to, and prayer, or that's what's going to settle a mother or a father's heart who finds themselves at their wit's end. Only you can only parent if in the strength of the Lord.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, one final thought from my end on John chapter 14, something you've reminded of us, and that's just stuck with me for the past few weeks too, is when we pray in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
And pray that his will be done. We know that we, of course, don't want to pray out of his will, but when we pray in his will, scripture's right there tells us that his will will be done and that he will hear us.
Yeah, when we're seeking to, that John 14 passage, when we're seeking to love him and obey his commands, then we can ask whatever we want in his name, and he's promised. So we're loving him, we're obeying his commands, therefore our prayers are according to his will, and we ask them in his name, and he performs them. So, yes. Well, thank you for your questions, and thanks for being on the podcast today.
Glad I could give you some hot button ones.
So. Amen. It was good stuff. Until we meet again, serve the King.